All right, are you ready to dive into some music history? We're taking a trip to the Austrian music scene today.
Great.
We're going to explore this band, Innocent. Their story's a wild ride. It
Yeah.
really embodies that saying, it's about the journey, not the destination, you know? And you've given us, wow, a mountain of material to dig through. Photos, articles, I even saw some handwritten lyrics in there. It's incredible. It's like putting together a musical puzzle.
And what a puzzle it is. It spans over 3 decades from what I've seen. From their very first rehearsals, just starting out in some kid's bedroom, to eventually they even return to the music scene. It's incredible. Talk about passion. It's also really interesting to see a band's sound and how it changes as time goes on. It's a fascinating case study.
It all starts in Vienna, 1982. You got to picture this. A group of friends, some pretty basic equipment, that raw, almost garage band kind of energy, and they're practicing in a kid's bedroom. Norbert Nobby chidles on guitar and vocals, Willy Dormaer on keyboards, and we're talking like a Casio in a suitcase here. And then there's Herwig Groger, also on guitar. Not quite the glamorous rock star life yet, right?
No, definitely not the rock star lifestyle yet, but there's early limitations, there's restrictions. They can really shape a band, in a good way. They couldn't just rely on fancy studios or all those cool effects back then. They had to make do, had to use what they had available. And I think that really puts the focus on the essentials. Songwriting, harmonies, just finding their unique sound, their voice as a band. It reminds me of those really early bands that would record on just like the most basic equipment. They were forced to innovate and experiment to try and make their music stand out from everyone else's. And a lot of times it resulted in a rawer, more authentic sound.
And their sound was definitely evolving. By 1983, they weren't just playing, local gigs here and there. Willie's working on this really ambitious radio play. It's called An Anfang war das Ende. That's at the beginning was the end, if you don't speak German, even just the title. It's pretty heavy stuff. It tells the story of a nuclear exodus. And some of the songs from it, like Life is to Live, Red Button, and Runaway, those become like the early Innocent staples, the ones everyone knows and loves.
And that's where the band's name, Innocent, it just takes on a whole other dimension, doesn't it? It's not just catchy tunes, fun little songs. They're really dealing with some pretty intense, heavy themes, like innocence lost or that threat of nuclear war, that yearning for escape. And it's all happening musically, playing out against this early 80s backdrop. It was a time of real tension, heightened Cold War tensions,
Talk about adding some layers to your music. And speaking of layers, that same year, they add a drummer and bassist. They finally become a proper five-piece band.
Yeah.
Oh, and they ditch the kids' bedroom. They got a dedicated rehearsal space now.
That move to their own space, it's pretty telling, I think. It suggests that they are committed, right? Like they want to take their music seriously, make this more than just a hobby. Plus, imagine the relief. They finally escaped someone's mom and they can crank those amps up as loud as they want. I'm curious though, did that change an environment, the new space? Did it change their sound at all?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. They actually started to use electric instruments around that time. They also started writing some songs with English lyrics, although they were still trying to keep what they called a natural element to their music. So maybe it's not like a complete sonic overhaul or anything, but definitely expanding their musical palette, They were experimenting, clearly. They wanted to find that sweet spot between their early raw energy and a more, I don't know, I guess, polished sound.
That period of musical discovery is so fascinating to me. Trying new instruments, exploring lyrical themes, figuring out who they are as a band. It really is like laying the groundwork for what's to come later down the line.
And that brings us to like 1986. This is where we get to what sounds like the stuff of Innocent Legend, the Rosensteingasse rehearsal space.
Ah, yes, the Rosensteingasse era. It's like this is where things really start to click for them,
Yeah, this place becomes their creative hub. It's spacious, it's comfortable. They even have a coffee machine, which, let's be real, that's essential for any band, right? So they're really settling in, getting comfortable, and then curveball. Their bassist, Miriam Filz, decides to leave the band.
It's always so interesting to me how these lineup changes just happen, Sometimes it's creative differences, sometimes it's, I don't know, life just takes you in a totally different direction. And it's like, see you later, band.
And in Miriam's case, that direction was a band called, wait for it, 4 out of 5 Dentists. I mean, come on, you can't make this stuff up.
Haha. Only in the world of music would that be considered like an equal career move. But all jokes aside, losing a band member is tough. It's hard on a band, especially if they've been there since the beginning, since the early days. It forces you to adapt, redefine that band dynamic.
And adapt they did. They brought in Roman Dolly on bass. He's described as this like really talented guy, a fast learner.
Roman coming in, it's like a turning point for them, for Innocent. He brings this new energy, you can just tell, new influences, and you can hear it too. It starts to shape their sound. It becomes a little more eclectic, a little more experimental.
And you can tell that they're hitting their stride because that same year, they land a spot on, get this, Lily's Talenty Shop sampler with their song, Three of Us.
Yep.
And for our younger listeners out there who might not know how big of a deal this is back then, getting on a sampler, it was huge.
It really was. It was like the platform for music discovery, you know, a stamp of approval, basically. Like, hey, these guys are good. Listen to them. It was make or break for a lot of bands. For Innocent, this was a sign. People are paying attention to their music. It was resonating with people.
Yeah, it's that early recognition, you know, validation that all that hard work is actually paying off. And speaking of hard work, they were playing a ton of gigs back then, including these legendary shows, legendary, this place called The Tunnel.
These tunnel shows, they become legendary. Like, the energy at these shows was off the charts. The audience loved them, ate it up. You can just tell from everything I've read, they were in their element, just feeding off that live energy, you know?
There's even that story about Roman. He actually played a whole show sitting down because he had a broken foot. Now that's dedication.
That's rock and roll, man. No, but seriously, talk about commitment to their music, to their fans. The show must go on.
Right. But as we've learned with Innocent, just when things seem to be going great, here comes another curveball. It's 1988. They're getting ready, and this is a huge step for them. They're going to record their first LP. And then their drummer, Helmut, decides to leave.
Oh, no. Talk about terrible timing. Losing a drummer right before you record, that's like every band's nightmare. But once again, we see Innocent, they're resilient, they don't panic, they don't give up, they always figure it out.
And the way they figure it out is, well, it's interesting to say the least, Roman, he actually steps in as the drummer for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Herwig's brother, Gerfried, he fills in on bass. It just shows you how resourceful they are. They make it work no matter what.
And let's be honest, there's just something kind of charming about that DIY spirit, you know,
right.
That willingness to experiment, just adapt to the situation. Might not have been ideal, but it speaks to their creativity, their determination to just make the best out of a bad situation.
Totally. And those recording sessions, they actually produce some really great music, including this track, Richie's Bar. And get this, it has a trombone in it.
I know. The trombone, it just adds this really cool texture to the song, you know? A bit of a, like, brassy swagger. You don't really expect it.
It's those little unexpected touches that make their music so interesting. But unfortunately, the drummer curse, it rears its ugly head again. Roman ends up leaving the band, too. And there they are. No drummer. Again, it's like a recurring theme in their story, isn't it?
It's almost comical at this point. But it does make you wonder, what was going on behind the scenes? Were they creatively restless, or was it just bad luck? Whatever the reason, finding a drummer, a consistent drummer, it was a major hurdle for them.
For sure. And yet they still keep going. They experiment with programming drums. They bring in another drummer, a guy named Andreas Rath. And they even record a song called Heaven for, you guessed it, another sampler.
Heaven, it's a special song. It's one of the only songs that they played throughout their entire career. And it was a very personal song for Herwig. He wrote it on the day that his grandmother died. It shows you there's real vulnerability there, real emotion in their music. It's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it reminds you that behind all the lineup changes, the experimentation, there's real heart to this band. But just as they're finding their groove again, yep, you guessed it. Another drummer bites the dust. Andreas is out. And at this point, even the band is joking about being cursed.
I can only imagine how frustrating that must have been. But you know what? There's also that sense of humor about it, right? Like, they're not taking themselves too seriously, which I kind of love. They've embraced the chaos, you know, the unpredictability of it all.
Exactly. So what do? They find themselves yet another new drummer. This guy's name is Andy Miller Eichholz. It's 1990. And for a moment, it seems like they finally have a solid lineup. Andy on the drums, Gerfried's on bass, Nobby, Willie, and Herwig. Holding it all together, they're practicing, they're writing new music, it's going great, and then bam, disaster strikes.
This is where their story, it takes a turn, a really dramatic turn. Like, this could have been the end for them.
It's 1991. They're about to move into a new rehearsal space, and then their old one, the Rosensteingasse space, it gets robbed.
Yeah.
All of their equipment, gone. 80,000 shillings worth of equipment, just gone.
That's
Talk
true.
about a devastating blow, not just financially, but emotionally too, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. To put so much of yourself into something, right? To
Yeah.
build it from nothing and then to have it just ripped away from you. It's heartbreaking. It's really a testament to their passion that they continue to make music at all after that.
I know. It's a real gut punch.
Bah.
And it's not long after that that they decide to go their separate ways. It's the end of an era, but as we'll see, it's not quite the end of Innocent. So here we are, Innocent, scattered to the winds, you could say. You'd think this is where the story ends, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
But this is Innocent we're talking about. They just can't seem to stay away from music for too long.
It's true. It's true. It really is like music. It's such a powerful force. And for some people, it's, you know, it's more than just a hobby, right? Or a career, even. It's just, it's part of who they are, you know? It's woven into their very being. It's really fascinating to see how each member, they kind of navigate this period of time. It's like they all go on their own, like, little solo journeys.
It really is. Like, watching these seeds scatter and then, like, take root in different places in different ways. Nobby and Willie, they decide to focus on family, which, I mean, who can blame them after
yeah.
all that, right?
That makes sense.
But then there's Roman and Gerfried and Herwig.
Those guys, they just can't resist that stage. They need to play.
Yeah, they've got that music bug. So Roman, he dives headfirst into the world of America.
America?
Mm-hmm. And get this, Southern Rebel.
Okay, those names. They definitely suggest a sense of adventure. Let's just say that.
I know, right? Okay, and then there's Gerfried. He even tries his hand at cabaret.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I mean, talk about range. That's incredible.
That is range. That's awesome.
But then there's Herwig. He's like a musical chameleon.
A chameleon? What do you mean?
He's all over the place, genre-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying everything. So there's The Outcry, which I don't know if you've ever listened to it, but it's got these, like, serious Doors vibes, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, very much those darker, more kind of psychedelic elements that he's bringing in.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then he goes and does Tag Work.
Tag Work.
Tag Work, which is, like, straight-up funk rock. Completely different sound. Same Herwig energy, though, you know. And get this, he even releases a children's story album.
Wow. Okay, first cabaret, now children's stories. These guys are all over the place. I love it.
I know. It's pretty amazing. Like, he's really tapping into every single part of his musical personality, you know.
It's inspiring, you know. It's like a good reminder that creativity, it doesn't have to fit into these neat little boxes. Sometimes the most interesting stuff comes from those unexpected combinations. Just going for it, you know, yeah. Leaping into the unknown.
Totally. And sometimes those leaps, they take you right back to where you started. Because in 1998, Nobby calls up Herwig out of the blue. Turns out, he and Willie, they've been bitten by that music bug again. They're jamming, just for fun, in Willie's attic.
It's like that spark, you know? It never really died out completely.
It was just waiting.
Just dimmed, maybe, but like those embers, just waiting for the right moment to ignite again.
And ignite they do.
Yeah.
In 2001, they play this gig, the Marshall Live Cafe. Now, this isn't like a big reunion tour or some big comeback announcement. It's just Innocent playing music together again.
And how'd it go?
Well, the response... It was amazing. It was overwhelmingly positive. They've got a new sound now. It's more mature for sure. Mellowed out a bit by time, you could say. But it still has that classic Innocent essence to it, you know?
I can imagine.
Reviews are glowing. They're selling out shows. It's like they've tapped into something special. But let's be real. This is Innocent we're talking about. The million-dollar question is, did they actually finally find a permanent drummer this time? Or did the universe have other plans?
You're really setting up the suspense here.
Well, let's just say the drummer situation. It remained fluid, we'll put it that way. They bring in Takahi, who plays percussion, and Gerhard Lechner on nice. Bass. And you heard he actually ends up becoming a permanent member of the band, which is great.
Okay, so a permanent bassist, that's progress. What about the drummer, though?
Ah, the drummer. Well, that, my friend, is a story for another time. It's a whole saga, let's just say that.
Oh, man, you're killing me with this. Okay, fine, we'll move on.
But in typical Innocent fashion, you know... They don't let it slow them down. They start experimenting with different vocalists. They even bring back Roman Dlawi.
Oh, no way. Really? Roman's back.
Roman's back. This time on bass. Wow, that's interesting. It really brings like a sense of circularity to their story, you know? Like they're revisiting their roots, kind of bringing those elements of their past into this like new version of Innocent.
Absolutely. And they're having fun with it. Like they're not afraid to be silly. For one gig, they all dressed up as devils and an angel.
Stop, really? That's amazing. Knowing Innocent, I bet that show was a chaotic, epic spectacle.
Oh, I'm sure it was. But that's what's so great about them, that playful energy. It keeps their music from ever getting too serious. You know,
yeah,
like they don't take themselves too seriously. They're willing to laugh at themselves, embrace the unexpected.
Absolutely. And that's so important.
And speaking of unexpected, their 20th anniversary show in 2003. Oh, boy, where do we even begin? Eva, she's their vocalist at this time. She actually loses her voice.
Oh, no. During the show.
During the show.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's like the worst nightmare. And then on top of that, the venue, they refuse to dim the lights.
What? No. Why? Talk about a lighting design fail.
I know. It's a disaster. Hmm? Oh, and to make matters even worse, they had to pay for their own drinks.
Oh, come on. That's just insulting. You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. But here's the thing. Through all of that, they never lost their cool. They were laughing. They just rolled with the punches.
That's amazing.
They were just happy to be up there making music.
You know, that right there, that's the mark of a band that's in it for the right reasons. Not the fame, not the money. It's just pure love of the music. And that joy, it's contagious.
It really is. And so that brings us to kind of the final chapter of Innocent's story, at least as far as the sources go that we have. They decided to shift their focus a little bit. They start to focus on studio work. They release a few EPs, kind of centered around these themes of like hope, peace, joy.
That feels like a really natural progression for them, actually. Like a way to still explore their creative side, but in a more controlled environment.
Exactly. It makes a lot of sense.
It does. After all those years of crazy gigs and the lineup changes, it's like they finally earned a little bit of peace and quiet, you know?
I know, right? A little bit of peace and quiet. Although, knowing Innocent, they can't stay quiet for too long, right? And sure enough, they're still experimenting, still pushing boundaries. They even bring in this guitarist named Robert, and get this, he's learning to play drums on the fly.
While recording.
While recording.
Oh my gosh. They're just fearless, these guys.
That's Innocent for you. They just keep going, trying new things, even after all these years.
I love it.
So here we are at the end of our deep dives into the world of Innocent. We've followed their journey from literally a kid's bedroom to the recording studio through countless lineup changes. We've seen the highs, the lows. It's been a wild ride. But I think there's one big question that remains unanswered here. What is the Innocent sound? Is it just the music, or is it something more than that?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Is it that mix of all those different genres, that raw energy we talked about, or those incredibly vulnerable lyrics? Or is it something else? Maybe it's that something else, that intangible spirit, that passion that just shines through in every note.
Yeah, maybe it's all of that. I don't know if there is one easy answer. But one thing is for sure, they definitely left their mark on the Austrian music scene.
Absolutely, and on us. I mean, what a story.
And that's what this deep dive is all about. Thanks for joining us on this journey through the world of Austrian music and the incredible story of Innocent. They remind us that sometimes the most important thing is just to keep playing. Thanks for listening.
Cheers to that.